Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rich Bradbury.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Adeline Chung.
And of course, this is That Time of Night. Thank you, Aslin, for the news. Now then, so Friday is not a holiday.
No!
And I was really hoping it was going to be a holiday, you know.
Me too.
I thought we could have that nice long weekend, you know, just chill out and do all that kind of stuff. And now we have to come to work. What are we going to do? Anyway,
get to work then.
I suppose we have to work, yeah. Ladies and gents, of course, as per usual, it is Monday. We're trying to get rid of those blues. If you've had them over the weekend, it is Comedy Monday. It feels like I've been away for a while, you know. It feels a bit like that. Tonight's show, though, will be featuring Dash Steam, a stand-up comedian from Pakistan. He's going to be joining us on the show live in just a few minutes. Of course, we'll be testing his brains on Smarty Pants. We've got giveaways. We've got all kinds of stuff this evening, mm-hmm. as usual. And if you want to get in touch and take part in the giveaway, it is 016-201-9000.
And if you want to tweet us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or BFM TTON.
Simple as that. Of course, we do have news from Page 2 coming up and some facts. All of that juicy stuff that you love. In the meantime, though, we're going to have a little bit of the Rolling Stones.
Yes!
This is Jumpin' Jack Flash. Do not go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Adeline.
We are joint. Sorry, I've done it again.
You stop cutting me, Richard.
Let's do it again. Right. My name is Richard Bradbury.
Good evening, and I'm Adeline Chung.
That is Adeline Chung. In the studio with us tonight is
Dash.
Dash.
Yeah.
Oh, he's very Dash.
Dash.
He's gone.
he's gone.
Sorry, that's an old joke. It's probably been done a million times before.
Yeah, it is.
Welcome to the show, Dash.
Thank you so much for inviting.
Absolute pleasure. Now, that song, of course, was for Iris Bradbury, who's listening from a long, long way away. Iris, say hello.
Hello. Hi, Iris.
There we go. That's my mother, Dash. She's listening over from the UK.
All right.
She'll be sat around a little iPad. She'll have got a cigarette in one hand and a cup of tea in the other. Guarantee it. Anyway, there you go. That's for you, Mum. Now, so then, Dash, let's get straight to it. You're a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
How long have you been here now in Malaysia?
8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
About the same time as I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So how did you kind of get into stand-up here in Malaysia? What was your kind of first move over there?
Well, I was teaching English for a while. And in order to keep my class entertained, I had to come up with something. So
some little jokes.
Yeah, some of the jokes. So it was mostly physical. Like, you know, I would make some faces. I had kids as well, so I had to entertain them as well in the class. So one of them told me, why don't you go on stage? I've seen Russell Peters. Maybe you can do something like that.
Wow. Said,
why not? So then I called Time Out KL.
Yeah.
And they gave me a spot. But that was in 2012.
That would have been like Matt Bellotti and...
Yeah. Matt was there. Matt gave me the opportunity. And I did it and it didn't go well. So I stopped for a year.
Right.
And then I learned whatever I could about stand-up comedy, working on stage. And then I just came back at one mic stand.
When you mentioned it didn't work well, are we talking about the audience? They weren't entertained by you, or you just didn't have enough of materials to actually...
Whatever I did in my classes, I thought that was funny. But that was not relatable to the audiences.
It's just a different audience. Yeah.
Well, you've got kids versus adults.
Yeah, exactly.
You can swear at one, you can't do the
exactly.
other.
Right. So it took me a year to learn all that. In between that year, I watched a lot of comedians. And I learned from them. I read a few articles, whatever I could get my hands on.
Right.
So you quit teaching?
Yeah. For good, yeah, I did.
Oh. And be a full-time comedian?
Not really. I'm not 100% focused on comedy at the moment. I have a full-time job. But as I'm performing more and more, I'm exploring more and more techniques of doing comedy on stage.
Right.
And there are a lot of good comedians around us. So, you know, my personal favorite in Malaysia is Papi Zach.
Right.
Mm. Like, when I saw Papi Zach for the first time, I was like, man, this dude is good. This dude is awesome.
Okay. Right. We'll get to that and a few more things about... What I want to talk to you a little bit later on as well is about... You've just been talking about stuff you've had to learn. And maybe we can talk about some of the comedians that you know inspired you to kind of move forward, I guess, with your material. Before we do that, though, we need to announce that we do have a giveaway this evening. 016-201-9000. What are we giving away?
Well,
Adeline?
We're giving away a pair of tickets to a show next weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend after Raya at the Crack House Comedy Club KL. Now, the question is, which American stand-up comedian released a stand-up film called Raw? Send your name and your IC number to 01620019000. Don't forget to tell us what it deserves to win as well.
If you haven't seen Raw and you're a fan of stand-up comedy, you seriously need to go and see it. It's absolutely brilliant. Right, it's time for some advertisements and, of course, some music coming up from Two Door Cinema Club.
Yes.
It is This Is The Life right here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. That was Two Door Cinema Club with This Is The Life. You are listening to That Time Of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
We're joined in the studio by...
Dash.
And he's gone.
He's gone. We're going to have to stop that. You do realise it. This guy must be so annoyed with that joke by now. I mean, really. Really. You've made it twice already. We can't have any more time.
Okay,
I mean, he's
okay.
Smiling now, but inside he's going, will you please stop doing that, please? You see, he's trying to be polite. I know it. Right. Anyway.
It's Comedy Monday
It's
today.
Comedy Monday, yeah. So we're having a giggle. Don't know about you guys. 016-201-9000 if you want to take part in our giveaway this evening. What are we giving away, Adeline Chung?
We are giving away a pair of tickets to a show next weekend. Not this weekend, not the right weekend, okay? Mm. At the Crack House Comedy Club KL. Now, all you have to do is just answer this question. Now, which American stand-up comedian released a stand-up film called Raw? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why they deserve to win as well.
So then, Dash, you started in a classroom making jokes. This sounds really wrong. I'm going to rephrase this. Jokes at children.
Yeah.
And then you kind of moved on to, I'm guessing, learning a bit of technique, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, who did you kind of watch and study to kind of...
Well, I mean, the first person that I... back home in Pakistan, we have a huge Urdu. That's the language we speak.
Yeah.
We have a huge comedy scene there.
Really?
And we have a lot of... They've been doing it for the past 50 years.
Right.
And those were sort of inspirations that I had. So we had, like, clean humor, so there was no swear words.
Right.
Because it was for the national TV.
Yeah.
But then when I moved to Malaysia, this dude told me that you should watch Russell Peters. And that dude, for me, was like, okay, man, this guy is really funny.
Right.
But then as I started doing comedy, I think I started watching Louis C.K., Danny Boy. He was here a few years ago, and I didn't know how good he was.
Right.
After he left, I was like, oh, my God, I performed alongside him. I like... my new favorite, or I think my all-time favorite, would be Louis C.K. because I like the way he describes the situations or his life. And
right.
He has a point.
Yeah.
So,
oh, he does. Yeah.
So I really like Louis C.K. And then you've got Bill Cosby. He has these stories that he talks about, and I personally think that I'm more of a storyteller than a one-liner or anything like that. But I like them because they talk about themselves. They have the stories,
right?
And that's pretty much it. I mean,
what do you kind of what's your observation of kind of you know, Malaysian comedians? I mean, the thing I found, and I think this kind of hangs true for people like Russell Peters too, is that a lot of comedy, local comedy, can hinge around stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we're familiar with. You know, we live in a multicultural society and we understand that. But I think people like Louis C.K., who avoids that kind of, you know, comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, the whole idea of stereotyping to get a joke.
I think Louis C.K. is doing something else. It's not what the Malaysian comedians or myself is doing right now. We talk mostly about, because you can make fun of, if you are from the minority... You are the target,
right.
So people can actually relate to that because minorities are always famous. Malaysian comedy, I think, is mostly. I think most of the time we're talking about politics when we are doing comedy in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Stereotyping is everywhere. I think without stereotyping, I mean, how you use it. If you want to give out a message, like, okay, we're talking about these people, they're having these type of problems, then it's okay to talk about them. But if you're just making fun of them, then I don't think it's comedy. It's just
a joke.
Just humiliating.
A joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Malaysian comedy, I think, is growing. I believe. I've been here since it started. So. I can see that before we had like one club, which was Time Out, and then one mic stand came along. Then Cow Cow is no more anymore. It's not there anymore. So it's growing. So it's really new. It's really hard for me to explain to you like where exactly this will lead to or what right. exactly we're doing now. It's new. So right. let it flourish. See where we can go with it.
I mean, and one of the things that we probably should address is that, you know, stand-up comedy has actually made the international news today. Mm-hmm. With a Singaporean comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Right, has been on this show, you uh-huh. know, and has said something that mm-hmm. has...
Offended.
offended somebody.
Yeah.
But I think the whole idea of stand-up comedy is it's satire. It's meant to be addressing issues that we're dealing with.
Yes, mm-hmm. true.
You know, and I think that, you know, not just for Malaysians, but for a lot of people, mm-hmm. to kind of laugh mm-hmm. at the struggle that we find ourselves mm-hmm. in, I think is important.
Yes.
And to kind of limit perhaps movement of said comedian in mm-hmm. and out of this country because yeah. he may have upset one or two people.
Yeah.
I think is kind of stifling the whole idea of freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not agree?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, comedians are there to actually talk about the things that normal people don't talk about, right?
Right.
Like mm-hmm. you just mentioned.
Yeah.
But I think in different countries there are different limitation sets on different people. So I believe I believe he crossed the limit. So to him it's okay because he talked about something that he thought was
right
at that moment.
Yeah.
And to some people they just think that it's not good. Like we talked about stereotyping, and sometimes you make fun of them.
Yeah.
It depends on the country. I mean, I believe one needs to respect the law as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, some can take it, some can accept
exactly,
it, and some can't, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're if you're performing and you're making, I mean, you're trying to talk to the audience member, and some of them they really like to be, you know, talked up, and you know, some people they really like comedians to talk to them while we are performing. Some don't.
Mm.
So if the person is not doing it, if he's not liking it, I should not push it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a comedian also needs to actually stop sometimes, because I mean, there will be times, there will be opportunities in future as well.
Know
so.
The boundaries.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. I'll not comment further. But I mean, okay, then let's move on a little bit. Then I mean, let's talk. What I'm interested in is how do comedians deal with hecklers as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there are many, many comedians who have their... Jimmy Carr, for example, mm-hmm. is a comedian who is merciless mm-hmm. In his treatment of hecklers. I mean, how do you deal with your hecklers?
Well, I've been heckled. I was heckled here. I mean, on Saturday, I have this bit where I say, I tell women I'm from Pakistan, they assume I sell carpets. So I've got a it's a bit that I do, and I've developed over the past few years. But I was about to finish it, and this guy out of nowhere in the audience said, "But you look like it." Because I say, like, not all Pakistanis sell carpet. But you look like it. And then I go back to him and I say, dude, I don't sell carpets. I sell tudungs. That's really offensive. So I mean, that was once that... Because he stopped me in between, so I had an answer for him.
Right.
Uh-huh. But there was once I was performing at one mic stand, and I started out by saying, I'm from Pakistan. But, you know, most of the people that... I was trying to, like, talk about stereotype. And most of the people, they know Pakistan from Osama bin Laden mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy, Australian guy, in the audience. He said, "No, cricket." I was like, "All right, man, you play
nice.
Cricket." So, I think you can just listen to them, whatever they are saying, and then continue with your set as long as they're not bothering you a
right.
lot.
Right.
Otherwise, you should always have an answer. What I do is that I think of scenarios that someone can say something during my set, and then I come up with an answer.
Mm.
So if something like that happens, I will definitely, you know, answer them. But in Malaysia, I don't think we get heckled a lot.
I mean, do you find yourself kind of running around and when you have an idea about a bit,
mm-hmm.
scribbling down a notebook? Or
oh yeah. yeah. Oh, I call it the flow. I mean, when it's flowing, you have to sit down and write it down. An idea not written on a piece of paper is not a good idea.
Right.
You forget about it.
Yeah.
So you let it cook. I let it cook for a few months, sometimes a year. There's a bit that I'm trying to do, which was I broke my laptop, the screen of my laptop, but it hit the fan. So there's something there. The audience want to know what exactly happened, and
right.
there's a story that happened. So I'm just working on it, how to actually put it in a situation where I can use that
right.
situation, that funny thing with it, when it hits the fan, what was I doing and all that. But it's taking time. I just don't know. So I'm just waiting for all the other ideas come in and just
and
put them all together.
Have you performed back in Pakistan since you've been here?
I was regularly performing in my college and my school. I was doing skits,
right.
comedy skits, and some of them were recorded. I don't think I have the videos because they were recorded on VHS tapes.
Wow,
that's a long time ago.
Yeah, so if I can get them, I would definitely love to see them, what inspired me and what exactly doing when I was young.
And what your kind of progress has been since.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, folks, we have to take a very short break in a second. It's a quick reminder, 016-201-9000. Adeline will tell you what we're giving away.
We're giving away a pair of tickets to a show next weekend at the Craig House Comedy Club at TGDI. Now, all you have to do is just answer this question. Which American stand-up comedian released a stand-up film called Raw? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what it is of to win as well.
Brilliant. Coming up after the break, we have Smarty Pants and news from Page 2. In the meantime, some ads into a little bit of Sia. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
We are joined in the studio by...
Dash.
There you go. Go on, Adeline. Don't do it. No. Don't do it.
I don't even plan to do it.
No, you didn't plan to do it.
No.
Good. She's not going to make that joke. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a giveaway. We are giving away tickets to a performance next weekend.
At the Craig House Comedy Club at TDDI.
Go
now
on,
the question is, which American stand-up comedian released a stand-up film called Raw? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what it is if to win as well. I forgot to ring the bell.
All right, there you go. If you like red leather and lots of swearing, I suggest you check out the video. You know, there is a lot of swearing in it, but it is worth a watch. It's kind of a, I don't know, it's a masterclass, I think, in stand-up comedy, for American stand-up comedy in particular, anyway. Now then, I suppose we ought to move on from news for Page 2, didn't we? We should probably do that. But if you want to get in touch via Twitter as well, we are at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON.
Tweet us, indeed.
If you want to ask any of us a bunch of questions, Dash is probably, you know, waiting for some questions to come in.
He's still here.
He's still here. Anyway, now it is time. Frog in my throat there. Now it is time for this.
Extra, extra, beat all the fire.
What's all the shouting?
Adeline.
Yes, today I'm going to be talking about Brexit. No, I'm joking. No.
What?
Enough of Brexit.
My word. For a moment then, my heart, I think, actually stopped.
Why is that?
Give me your opinion of Brexit. No, don't. Okay, go on then.
That's because it's from the UK. Okay.
So tell me what you've got. What have you got?
Okay, I give you a fact. Before I start my story, I'm going to give you a fact.
Oh, you're supposed to do that at the end of the show.
No, I have... Chill, okay?
Okay,
can
I'm chill.
Can I have some airtime, please, dude?
You don't get enough? How many shows have you got? Carry on.
Okay, did you know that there are about 5 million motorbikes in all of Vietnam?
Oh.
Is that
five?
All?
Wait, can you just not interrupt?
Okay.
So there are about 5 million motorbikes in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So why motorbikes?
Mm-hmm.
So it's because it's easy to travel around and all, right?
Right.
So apparently the officials in Hanoi, they are aiming to ban motorbikes from the city centre within 10 years.
The whole of Vietnam?
Yes.
Right. So how are people supposed to get around then?
Because they want the streets to be motorbike free by 2025 as part of the efforts to tackle congestion.
Oh.
So isn't... Well, I'm just thinking, isn't... I mean, if you ride a motorbike, it's to ease traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But,
but
I mean, looking at a population in Hanoi now.
How many did you say there were? 9 million?
Motorbikes. 5 million.
Five million. Well, if you've ever been to Vietnam, mm-hmm. you know that there are motorbikes and scooters all over the place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, but the thing is, they're cheap. It's easy for people to get around. You know?
Correct.
But they do cause an awful lot of pollution.
Yes. A lot of pollution. That is why they want to clamp down the...
So are they going to make cycle lanes and all that kind of stuff? What are they going to do?
No, they didn't say what they're going to do. They just want to ease the traffic, number one, is to reduce the pollution as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all they want by 2025.
Adeline, you know, you were going to open up this talk set about Brexit, you know? So I thought that perhaps you'd have a solution for this problem in Vietnam. I mean,
maybe you have a solution for yourself as well.
For myself or for Vietnam?
Vietnam. Do you have a solution? Do you think you have a solution?
Do I have a solution? I think maybe what I'd suggest is that, you know, perhaps to have some of those, you know, in China where they sell the, they're like bicycles, but they are electric
bikes. How about
Segways? Do you know how expensive those things are?
What's it called? The one that we have?
The hoverboard thing.
The hoverboard.
Right, yeah, they're terrible. The electric bicycle. Have you seen those?
No.
You've not seen those?
I've heard of it.
Big battery pack, you take it upstairs, you charge it up, you plug it in. Mm-hmm.
So you have to charge it all the time?
So you use up a lot of electricity then? Oh, here we go. Right. Anyway,
Am I right? Yeah,
You do. But it actually works out cheaper and more environmentally friendly.
Okay, how is that reducing congestion then?
Because you'll have people on bicycles rather than motorbikes.
Yeah, but it's pollution, right?
No, it's not pollution. Unless you're farting whilst you're cycling, the pollution is pretty good. Anyway, we have to move on. Dash, what have you got for me?
Well, I read news this morning. No, it was, I think, yesterday where Tesla, and they have autopilot feature on their cars.
Oh, I read the story.
Yeah, and they had an accident on a highway, and the guy was apparently
watching. It hit
the truck,
right?
It did.
It's the first one as well, isn't
it?
The first one.
Yeah, and then Tesla comes up with the statement. Elon Musk, he says that, oh, we have to, like, tell people how exactly to use the autopilot. It reminds me of Steve Jobs. You know, remember the iPhone 4 thing?
Yeah.
They said, we're going to tell people how to hold phones correctly.
Right.
I mean, if you have a future, make sure it works.
You know?
The guy
died,
for God's sake.
He did. I mean, but, you know, I don't know about you, but even when I'm in a bus being driven by somebody else, mm-hmm. I'm constantly looking out the window
exactly.
to make sure I'm going in the right direction. You know, I mean, you can't just sit there and expect the whole thing to do everything for you. I mean,
that's how it was advertised.
Exactly. Yeah. You have autopilot. Mm-hmm. You think to yourself, it's going to do everything, mm-hmm. right? Dangerous. Now,
what about you?
It's only a little story because we're running out of time. It's about what you would do when you retire, right? Or all of us.
Oh, yeah.
So Obama has actually said, and he kind of made it as a kind of off-the-cuff statement. He actually said that when he retires, what he'd like to do is to open up a t-shirt shack in Hawaii, and all he wants to do is sell one color of t-shirt in one size, because that means he has no thinking to do. It's a brilliant idea, you know. White t-shirts in medium, that's all he sells. That's all he wants
to
sell.
Why medium?
Well, I don't know, because you don't have to think about it, you know. But then again, if it's Americans, they probably want XXXXXL, I'm guessing. I'm joking. But no, I mean, the thing is, I mean, imagine this. You're walking up on a beach in Hawaii. There's the ex-president of the former of the United States sat there selling T-shirts. I would drop my cocktail, my umbrella out of my cocktail. I'd be like, oh, it's Obama. I mean, and I think I'd actually pay him money.
When he's out of job.
Just sit there
but
and complain
to
him.
But you know what? He should actually move to New Zealand.
It's really cheap right
now. Yeah, it's really cheap. You can buy houses. There's a lot of job opportunities
there.
Three-bedroom
house in the South Island of New Zealand right now is 585,000 ringgit.
It's almost 600,000 ringgit.
Right. That's cheap.
Three bedrooms with a lot of land.
Wow. We should own properties
there. Not that I'm telling you all to leave Malaysia, but, you know, it's pretty darn cheap. Right, we have to move on. It is now time for this lovely little thing that we like to call Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
Are you ready, Dash?
Yep.
3 minutes to answer as many general knowledge questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, just say skip and we move right on. Okay. 3 minutes. Start now. What is the highest straight flush in a game of poker? A royal flush or a flush?
Royal flush.
In medicine, renal calculus is another term for what? Gallstones or kidney stones?
Gallstones.
It's the other one. What is the title of the 1999 film starring Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, which was adapted by Chuck Palahniuk's 1996 novel? Was it Lullaby or Fight Club?
Fight Club.
What is the name of Captain Hook's boat in the children's novel Peter Pan? The Sweet Revenge or the Jolly Roger?
Skip.
Who plays groundsman Carl Spackler in the 1980 film Caddyshack? Was it Bill Murray or Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
Oops.
Oh, it was, in fact, Bill Murray. American comedian Butch Bradley hails from which city? Atlantic City or Chicago?
Atlantic.
Correct. Welcome to Joyville is an advertising slogan for which confectionery brand? Was it Ferrero Rocher or Cadbury?
Cadbury.
The Hilsa is the national fish of which Asian country? Vietnam or Bangladesh?
Vietnam.
It's the other one. Which song by Elton John is about late actress Marilyn Monroe? Candle in the Wind or Your Song?
Your Song.
Candle in the Wind. What does N represent in the periodic table? Sodium or nitrogen?
Sodium.
Nitrogen. Which British poet had a relationship with Fanny Braun? John Keats or Thomas Hardy?
John Keats.
What was the last UK number one hit single for the band Queen? Bohemian Rhapsody or We Will Rock You?
We Will Rock You.
Cairo is found in which country?
Egypt.
What is the official language of Pakistan?
Urdu.
It is, in fact, English.
Really?
Really. The official language, so I'm told. Right. The ruins of Troy are in which modern-day country? Turkey or Syria?
Syria.
It's the other one. Right, how's your boy band knowledge?
Pretty messed up.
Let's have a good guess. Right. Yeah. Harry, Liam, Neil, Louis, Lewis, and Zane are all members of which British boy band? McFly or One Direction?
One Direction, yeah.
How many time zones does Russia have? 5 or 9?
I think they're 5.
There's 9.
9? My
In
God.
In Judaism, what is a kever? Is it a grave or bread?
Kever is a grave.
Correct. What is the leader of a boy Cub Scout pack called? Alpha or Arkela?
Arkela.
What type of animal is a Leonberg? Is it a cat or a dog?
It's a cat.
Other one. Right. Punchtown Racecourse is in which European city? Ireland or Scotland? They like to drink a little bit of Guinness.
Ireland.
Correct. Urethophobia is the irrational fear of which colour? Red or blue?
I believe it's blue.
You would believe wrong. What is the name of the futuristic nation in the 2012 film The Hunger Games? Is it Panam or Naboo?
I haven't seen the movie. I would go with Naboo.
Oh, yeah, no. Acer is the Latin name for which tree, the maple or the pine?
Pine.
The other one. One more guess. What is the largest ocean on Earth, Pacific or Atlantic?
I believe it's Pacific.
Correct. Right, we're out of time. Dash will be with you in a minute. We have to take some a little break for some ads and a little bit of music. Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Jung.
We are with...
Dash.
Adeline?
He's still around.
Okay, good. Now then, just before the break, we're testing his brain, of course, on Smarty Pants. Now, we came across a question where the question was, what is the official language of Pakistan, right?
Yep.
And the choices we had were English or...
Urdu.
Urdu. Yeah. And so our answer actually says English, mm-hmm. but... You were telling me.
Yeah, they recently changed it to Urdu because
why?
Because our prime minister can't speak Urdu, can't speak English, I guess.
Right. So whilst he's prime minister, it's Urdu.
Yeah.
And then when he finishes, it will go back to English, or will it stay?
Let's hope it does, because we've all gotten educated in English, so we want to use that.
Right. Okay then. So technically, you answered correctly, and we will give you that point.
Cool.
I think that's only fair, right? So then, before we do that, a quick reminder, 016-201-9000. If you want tickets, you have to get in touch right now because I will be closing the competition in 2 minutes' time.
Two minutes. Okay, and the question is, which American stand-up comedian released a stand-up film called Raw? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what you deserve to win as well. Don't forget that, okay?
Okay, very quickly, you need to go through some of the questions we got wrong.
Okay, I won't go all out. So what is the name of Captain Hook's boat in the children's novel Peter Pan? Is Jolly Roger? Who plays groundsman Carl Sparkler in the 1980 film Caddyshack is Bill Murray. The Hilsa is the national fish of which Asian country is Bangladesh. Which song by Elton John is about late actress Marilyn Monroe? It's Candle in the Wind. And finally, what does the N represent in the periodic table? It's nitrogen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dash scored 13 points.
Well done, well done, well done.
Well. Oh my God!
Oh.
Now they know I'm an idiot.
We've had worse, Dash. We've had worse.
Whoosh.
See, I told you I've been away for a while. That's what it feels like. Now we've got 1 minute before we have to wrap up the show. So what we'll do is we'll go through the facts first, and then we'll announce the answer to the question that we've been posing. So, Adeline. Mm. What's your silly fact for today?
Did you know that Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball player,
yeah.
he owns 17 Auntie Anne's pretzel shops, 40 24-hour fitness clubs, 155 Five Guys restaurants, and 150 car washes.
I know where all of his tax write-offs are going now then, right? Smart fella, that one.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that it is illegal to wear a fake moustache that causes laughter in a church in Alabama? So you can't sit there with a fake moustache on church on a Sunday.
But why would you go there with a fake moustache?
Because you'd cause laughter. I mean, that's the whole point. Anyway.
Hey, I want to have one more fact.
You've got
please.
19 seconds.
Okay, so in 2006, 75 of Chinese didn't know that sharks were killed to make shark fin soup. So
only 75 or 75%?
75%. Okay, but now 91% of Chinese support a nationwide ban thanks to activism work by Yao Ming and the others.
Brilliant. Dash, thank you very much for coming on the show.
It was awesome. Thank you so much.
Good
guys.
Luck with all the stuff that comes up in the future.
Thank you so much.
And
wait, and the answer.
Oh, yes. Before we wrap up, the question that we asked was which American comedian did a stand-up show called Raw. It was, in fact, Eddie Murphy. If you answered correctly, you could well be hearing from us very shortly. Now, we really do have to wrap up. It is Pick of the Pops up next, of course. Do not go anywhere. This is BFM 89.9, the business station, and this is Disclosure with Magnets. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.